Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 216, To the Jew First. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, October 3rd, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So great to be together again today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you've had a busy week. We've had a busy week, a little bit of a busy week. So the last few days we were in Dallas, Texas with Voice of Judah Israel. And we were there basically for a banquet that we had for partners in the Texas area. But actually people showed up. We had three ministers from Israel. We had people from Minnesota. And from several other states, as well as Texas, pretty close to 100 guests at the banquet, where Pastor Israel shared about the three feasts. Some of you have been watching some of his video clips on voiceofjudahisrael.com, VOJIIsrael.org, I mean. And so anyway, he was sharing about the last three feasts, which were just completed. The Feast of Sukkot, which is the Feast of the Tabernacles, is the last one that's in the book of Leviticus or in the book of Deuteronomy. And how that relates to our present day and how that relates to believers. So really, really interesting time, interesting message, and a great time of fellowship with both old partners who have partnered with Voice of Judah Israel, and also those who have new partners coming in to help us with the work in Israel. It's been a really, really amazing year for us. God has been good. It's been a great year for sowing seed and seeing a harvest of souls come into the kingdom. This year we're planning to plant three churches in Israel, so we're believing God for the funds and finances to do that. To establish those congregations in three new cities. So God is doing some really, really great things amongst the Jewish people. I'll be talking about that in a little bit. But it's great to be together this morning and to share communion, the body and the blood of Jesus, because after all, it's about that. Sometimes we don't think about the roots of Christianity are basically come from our Jewish roots, the roots of Judaism that came to us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how that relates to our Christian faith. Because all of it's in the Bible. You know, you can read about the feasts, you can read about the festivals, you can read about how Jesus honored those festivals, how he carried out all those things, you know. Actually, Jesus was a Jew. Did you know that? So we should honor his people, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have a Bible. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have the Ten Commandments. If it weren't for him, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have a Messiah, because the Messiah came from the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. So God has been good. So we've had a busy week. Yesterday morning, we got up at 2 o'clock to go to the airport, and then we went to Chicago, and then we went to Valparaiso. We had a banquet with our friends from our 50th class at Valparaiso University, and so we got home about midnight, but we're doing good. Praise the Lord. God is great. Amen. So if you had a busy week, we had a busy week, but God is faithful. And he'll get you through another week if you seek after him. Amen. So let's begin with prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, that our sins are not covered up. Our sins are remitted. They're forgiven. They're cast away from you as far as the east is from the west. And you said that you would remember them no more. You're not going to hold them against us. So thank you, Jesus, for what we just received as we partook of communion together with each other and with you, with our Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Because we are one in you, Father. We are one in you, Jesus. We are one in you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your body, which was broken for us. Thank you for not only forgiveness, but healing that came to us through the broken body of Jesus. That he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So, Lord, for those who have been struggling with sicknesses or weaknesses or some kind of infirmity in their bodies, Lord, we just declare your word of healing over them this morning. We're thankful and grateful for healing, wellness, and wholeness flowing from heaven, flowing through the blood of Jesus into our bodies and setting us free from sickness. We speak over those that have been attacked by COVID and other things. Lord, let your healing flow cover them and manifest inside of them the wellness and the wholeness that comes from your hand. And Father, we thank you that Jesus paid the price, is paid in full, and all we have to do is believe and receive. So today, we open our hearts to you. We believe that we receive our healing, wholeness, and wellness. And Father, may we walk in divine health and be free. You said you would bless our bread and bless our water and take sickness away from the midst of us and fulfill the lifespan that you've given us, Lord. So we're trusting in you to carry that through all the days of our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that covering of protection over us, for that precious anointing that destroys the yokes and lifts the burdens, for that peace that surpasses understanding that keeps and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, for your grace and your peace, Father, that are multiplied to us through knowing you. We're grateful and we're thankful. And especially, Lord, this day, we ask you that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would be enlightened and know the hope of our calling, that we would know the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints, and that we would know the greatness of your power, the power of resurrection in our lives like never before. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay in the grave. You came forth, the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you live forever in the majesty of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back soon to take your people home. And thank you, Jesus, that when you're coming, Father, every eye will see and every ear will hear the sound of the trumpet, Lord. And Father, on that glorious day, we'll all be one for the great banquet that you have for us together with Jesus in that heavenly Jerusalem, Father. We're thankful and grateful for that, Lord. So looking forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you just for a few minutes about why should we look back to our Jewish roots, to the roots of our Christian faith. So the primary reason, one of the reasons, is that it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Let me read Tanya was just referring to some of the prophetic words from the book of Ezekiel, but let me read you one from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, the first verse says, "Arise, Jerusalem." I think this is New Living that I'm reading this out of. I didn't actually denote it on my notes here. "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All the nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy, for the merchants of the world will come to you." What a really, really, really great picture of God's people, Israel, coming back to their homeland. So in 1948, it became a reality that Israel was reborn, that the nation of Israel came into being, and that people could actually come from the nations and come, the sons and the daughters and the fathers and the mothers and the grandparents, they could come back to their home that God had in ancient times given to their ancestor Abraham, their ancestor Isaac, their ancestor Jacob, from whom they got their name, Israel. So one of the reasons to honor the people of Israel and to put them in a first place in our heart and in our lives and to support the work of God in that nation is because it's a fulfillment of prophecy. What we're seeing before our very eyes was prophesied so many years ago by Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the prophets, you know, that God's people would come home and that there would be a glorious day when God's people would begin to turn back to him. So sometimes when we see all of the world events, some of the things that are happening in Israel, you know, we just think, well, you know, there are secular people that don't even believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why should we bother? Because these precious people are really God's sign to the world that his word is true and that his word never fails and that prophecy will be fulfilled whether people like it or not, whether governments like it or not, whether people agree with it or not, that God's people will come home and they will be a people. And that they will inherit the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So really the first reason to put the Jew first is because prophetically is moving today like never before. But let me read something to you from the book of Romans, which I think will help you to see the attitude that we should have towards the Jewish people. Paul said about the Jewish people, his own people, that he said he would gladly die in their place, but he knows that he can't do that. The only way that he can reach his people is to bring the gospel to them. And through the preaching of the gospel, as you know from the book of Romans, through the preaching of the gospel, people come to Jesus. People come to their Messiah. People come to know him, the one who was wounded for our transgressions, the one who was bruised for our iniquities, the one on whose all of our sins were placed. The Bible said, all we like sheep has gone astray, but God laid on him the iniquity of us all. So in the book of Romans, Paul begins to talk about his people. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, I say then, has God cast away his people? So in our day, sometimes people, many Christian churches, say that God is done with the people of Israel. Now it's our turn. Now it's our time. And that the church has replaced Israel and all of those kinds of things. It's not in the Bible, but that's what they say. There are many nations that are against the nation of Israel, and they're telling people to not invest in any companies that are in Israel and so forth and so on to try to bring Israel down. But when they do that, they're coming really against God because they're poking their finger in the apple of his eye, because the Bible says that God considers his people Israel to be the apple of his eye. So Paul says, shall I say then that God has cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets and they've torn down your altars and I alone am left and they seek my life. Verse 4. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So let's just stop there for a moment. All throughout history, Israel was never left without a remnant of people who believed in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's so today. And even so, in the nation of Israel, there's an increasing number of people who have come to find that Jesus was their Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Bible called the Hebrew word for it, is Hebrew, Jesus the Messiah. We would say in English, But there they call him Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah. Praise the Lord. So Paul says, even at this present time, in his present time, according to the election of grace, these people have not bowed to Baal. They've not given themselves over to the other gods, the gods of the world, the worldliness. But they have sought the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6 says, by grace, and if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded, just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should see and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and bow down their back always. So what that speaks of is that when people reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they enter into a form of blindness. And that blindness keeps them from coming up, from coming into the things of God. But that's why in the book of Romans, Paul taught people to pray that God would open the eyes of people's understanding, that they could be enlightened, that they could know the hope of their calling, that they could know the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. So whenever Israel sinned, there was always people who interceded. You can remember when Moses was tired of it and he went to God about it, and then God said, okay, just I'll wipe them all out and I'll start over with you. And then Moses began, and God listened to him and didn't wipe them out. In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says that God was getting ready to destroy the cities. And Lot began to intercede for the city. He said, well, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 20, if there's 10, if there's, you know, unfortunately, he stopped before he got down to 1, 2, or 3. But if he had kept on negotiating with God, if he had kept on interceding, God would have spared those two cities. The power of intercession is great. It's powerful. It's awesome. So when we pray that God open the eyes of their understanding, we should believe that he's going to bring people into the kingdom of God. When you go out to minister to people, or when you go to your workplace and you want to share Christ with people, when you want to share your faith with people, if you will pray that God opens the eyes of people's understanding, then they will be able to understand the things that you're saying. You know, sometimes when we talk to people, we talk to them in Christianese, they don't have a clue. They think, like, what planet did this person come from? What in the world are they talking about? Because it's just like, it's like there's a fog between them and you, and it's perfectly clear to you, but it's perfectly nonsense to somebody else. So how do you break that down? You break that down through intercession. You bind the devil, you cancel his power to kill, steal, and destroy, and then you begin to pray that God will open hearts, open lives, open minds, open eyes, so that people can see and people can hear, and pretty soon you see the lights begin to come on. Amen? When the lights come on, guess what happens? The light of God's love begins to flood hearts and lives, and people begin to open their hearts to the things of God, and begin to see things that they never saw before, and begin to hear things for the first time in a way that they can understand and receive and believe. Praise the Lord. So then it says, I say then, this is verse 11 of Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So why should we reach out to the Israeli people? Well, we should reach out to them because when they begin to see the things that God has done for Gentile believers, The Bible says that God will provoke them to a jealousy that will draw them to Him. And so when they begin to open their hearts, the lights begin to come on. So as we enter for our Jewish brothers and sisters, we can see God open their hearts to the gospel, and they begin to receive. So one of the amazing things that's happening in our time is that more and more Jewish people are coming to Jesus. They're coming to Yeshua, their Savior, their Messiah, the one who was born to take away their sins. The seed that God promised even in the Garden of Eden has come, and now they can see it, and now they can believe, and now they can receive. So Paul says here, if their failures were riches for the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness? So we look for the great day when people, the Jewish people, in mass come to Jesus and receive Him as their Lord and their Savior. Verse 13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of flesh and save some of them." So Paul is saying that he preaches to the Gentiles, hoping that his people begin to see the truth, hoping that his people begin to open their hearts to the things of God and begin to receive the same Messiah that he has already received. And then look at verse 15. 15 is a really, really important verse. You should mark this in your Bible or highlight it in your mobile devices there. "For if their being cast away is reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" It'll be like resurrection when the Jewish people come to Jesus. So we want to see the power of the resurrection in amazing ways. The best way is to see the Jewish people come to Jesus. And it's amazing what God is doing in our own time, bringing them in. So let's take a little bit longer look at that and talk about first fruits. You know, we call this First Fruits Sunday because this is a Sunday that we, in our tithes and with our tithes and our offerings, we bring an extra gift, a first fruits gift, to support the work in Israel. So Paul talks about first fruits here in verse 16. He said, "If the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, you being a wild tree were grafted in among them, and with them you became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you." So you should look at that. When we talk about the first fruits, we're talking about sowing into the nation of Israel, sowing into the gospel going to Jewish people. And when we're doing that, we're saying, "I'm going to make a priority to bring the first from my blessings of this month. I'm going to sow it into the lives of Jewish men and women so that they can come to Jesus, so that they can come to the Messiah, so they can come to know the one whom God sent as their Messiah." And as they do that, then like we were grafted into the tree, we have to remember that if it hadn't been for them, we'd have nothing to be grafted into. That are there, the roots, the richness of the gospel, the richness of the word of God, the richness of the blessing of God is there because it's in the roots. And when we got grafted in, we get all the benefits that were meant for and intended for the Jewish people. We step into those blessings and into that covenant that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then when Jesus came, the Bible says that we got even a new covenant, a better covenant, established on better promises made both to Jews and Gentiles. And we are living under that tremendous covenant, which we just celebrated the communion aspect of it this morning together. So when we take communion, we're saying, "I'm in covenant with God. The richness and the blessing that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of that is mine, plus everything that Jesus came to do is mine. It's a no-brainer. I brought nothing to God, and He gave me everything, including His Son, to step in my place, to take my sins in his body on the tree, so that I could be dead to sin and alive to righteousness and be healed by his stripes. How much better does it get than that? So in a time when the world is in a pandemic and a panic about all of the things that are going on, and the governments are upside down and nobody seems to have any sense or know what to do, we can say, yes, but we serve a God and he's got things under control. And you may think things are nonsense and everything is going bad, but we're living in covenant with God. And under that covenant, everything he has belongs to us. And everything we have belongs to him. But he gets the short end of the deal, we get the best end. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, verse 18 then again says, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. So our roots are there in Judaism, and that's the beginnings of what we have received from God come out of those roots. Verse 19 says, But you will say then, the branches are broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. But now listen to this. Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. In other words, he's saying, be careful how you live. Be careful what you do. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear, is the children's song. Why? Because if these branches were broken off, your branch could be broken off too. So God is warning us that, yes, you can come and have communion, but he's expecting us to walk in holiness and righteousness out of that and to be living in repentance. Of course, you know, if you fall or if you fail or if you stumble, we can come to God. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I'm certain most of us have had to do that often, because there are times when we let it all hang out and it's not a good thing. It's not a pretty sight. So verse 22 then says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. So have you considered his goodness today? Have you considered his severity today? In other words, there is judgment, but there is goodness. There is goodness, but there is judgment. Amen? And the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Amen? So the best way is to judge ourselves. And instead of judging others, instead of condemning others, if we look at our own life and say, okay, let me work on me, and I'll let God work on somebody else. Amen? Nobody's getting a pass, but starting with me, I'm going to work on me. Praise the Lord. So he says, don't be haughty, because if God didn't spare the branches, he might not spare you. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. So it's the if you continue in his goodness. So I've traveled in a lot of nations of the world and had the opportunity to observe people who worship other gods. And one of the things that kind of seems like a glaring contrast to Christianity, to believing in Jesus, to receiving the benefits of the covenant, is that in those places where they're worshiping the other gods, almost all of those gods hate them. Those gods are not gods of love, but they serve those gods out of fear. They serve those gods out of condemnation, and they can never be good enough. No matter how much they do, maybe they get a higher degree in hell instead of a lower degree or something like that. Or maybe they get born back into the earth as a rat instead of an ant. It's incredible, you know, that people can believe those things. And yet they're as sincere can be about what they believe about their gods. But in the Old Testament, we read about all of the heathen nations that were around Israel and the gods they serve. It's almost incredible to think that the people of Israel would be drawn to that kind of thing, you know, where they sacrifice their children to to the god Molech by throwing them into the fire and hearing them scream. It's just like unthinkable things. But think about our time. How many babies, unborn babies, are burned in the fire and thrown away? A whole generation of people have missed living. Generations of people have missed living. You know, maybe people who are destined to be presidents, who are destined to be congressmen or congresswomen, they perished because they were aborted before their time. And it's a terrible thing. So when we think about how terrible it was for those people to sacrifice their children to the god Molech, just think about our own time. It's happening now, right around us, all around us. And then they try to make medicines out of the aborted fetuses. I mean, it's incredible the atrocity that's going on among us. So we might get canceled over here by our friends at Facebook and YouTube, but that's not my problem. Cancel if you want. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, if God did not spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Then verse 23, it says, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So why should we support our brothers and sisters in Israel? Why should we try to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, in a way that they can understand and receive him as their Savior, as their Messiah? Well, because if they don't continue in their unbelief, they'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Amen. So our goal is to reach as many people as we can, both Jewish and Gentile, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the great harvest can come before he returns again. Praise the Lord. Verse 24, for if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will those who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? How much more? You see, the heart of God is for his people. He's never forgotten his people. He's never forsaken his people. He's never left them without a remnant of believers. He's never gone away from them, but he's always called them back. And now they're coming back to their homeland as an outward sign of what God is doing in a spiritual way, to bring his people home, to bring them to a place and to a knowledge of their Lord and their Savior. So I love watching the videos that Pastor Israel sends and gives to us to show others, you know, the great work that God is doing among the people of Israel. It's an amazing time to live in, because this is history in the making. This is prophecy being fulfilled. It's an amazing time to see God's people come home, to see them believe in Jesus, their Messiah, and to take a hold of the gospel and have their lives changed, have the healing power of God flow over them. Many times when we get them together in outreaches, secular Jewish people who have never heard the gospel come to know him for the first time, and many of them are healed instantly in those meetings. It's an amazing thing. You don't even have to be preaching about healing or praying for healing, but people one after another begin to be healed and be set free from stuff. It's amazing what God is doing. So in the book of Genesis, God, when he made his covenant with Abraham, he said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And out of you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So just think about the blessing that we've received because the Messiah came out of Israel. The Messiah who was nailed to the cross came and died for us and rose again and ascended to glory and is coming back again, because our roots are there and the blessing of Abraham has become ours. The promise of the Spirit has come to us because of the blessing of Abraham through Jesus to the Gentiles, to us who would not have any other way to come if it had not been for these people. Praise the Lord. So why do we say to the Jew first and also to the Greek, also to the Gentile? It's because, like Paul, we see the wisdom and we see the beauty of God unfolding amongst us for supporting his people. Praise the Lord. So in the final, I started out with the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. I want to close then with a couple of verses still from Isaiah 60. This is towards the end of verse 17. He said, I will make this, he's speaking of the people of Israel. He said, I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. So this is a continuing prophecy. You should really read all of Isaiah 60. It's an amazing book. But he said, I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land. Wouldn't that be a great thing if we could wake up one morning and there was like total peace in Israel and all around Israel, that all the nations around them had made peace? You know, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Because it's the powder, it's almost like it's the powder keg of the world. It's right there, you know, in that little tiny small country. Verse 18 says, violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. Won't that be amazing? Verse 19, no longer will you need the sun to shine by day or the moon to give light by night. For the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. So in the Old Testament, you know, when they built the temple, the Shekinah glory of God was in that holy place. They didn't need any light in there because God was in there. And everything lit up. And the priest got to go in there once a year, as Tanya had mentioned. Or maybe it was Ellie that mentioned that. Praise the Lord. But the glory of God was in that place. And when they were in the tabernacle, out in the desert before the temple was built, the glory of God would come down on the temple, on the tabernacle, and Moses would be there, and Joshua, the Bible says he would just stay in the tabernacle for days after the glory of God lifted off of there, because he was still kind of in the glory of God. So some amazing things are about to happen here that God is predicting. He said, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will never go down, for the Lord will be your light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. All your people will be righteous, and they will possess their land forever, for I will plant them with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. So in the end, we will see that God is the winner, and what he does in the nations of the world will bring glory to God. The Bible even says that all the nations of the world will go up to Jerusalem and worship the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Won't that be an amazing day? Already nations are coming to that little tiny country to worship God, but it'll be amazing in this day that this prophecy is speaking. So let's close with prayer today. So Father, we just come to you on behalf of your people Israel. We ask you, Father God, that your hand of blessing will be over them, that your hand of protection will be over them, Father, that you would raise up godly leadership throughout their land. Father, the whole world has gone crazy, and governments are doing crazy things, not just in Israel, but in other nations, Father. But Lord, we pray for your people. We ask you, Father, that you would give them good governance. We ask you that you'd raise up men and women who know you, who would love you, who would serve you, who would honor you and do things that honor you, Lord. And we ask you, Father, on behalf of the returning Jewish people, those that are coming from the nations, Father, those that are coming from all the nations of the world, returning to their homeland, making aliyah, as they say there. We ask you, Father God, that you will make a place for them, Father, that you will meet their needs, Lord, that you will open housing for them, that you will bring food to them, that you will bring the things that they need to get their life started in their new homeland, Father, that you will make a place for them to live, Father, that you will make them a place for them to raise their families, Lord, and in safety and in peace, Lord. We pray, Father God, that for these people, Lord, to make an impact on your kingdom and for your glory, Father. We ask you, Father, that every heart will be touched, Lord, by the urgency of reaching these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, so that they can know you, the one whom they pierced, Lord, so that they can see you, the only true God, Father, through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We ask you, Father God, for the pouring out of our love and your love to them. Father, we ask you that they would feel that love, that they would understand, Father, that not the whole world is against them, but there are people who love them and care about them, and especially that they would feel your love and sense your love over them. And we pray, Father God, that through our giving and through our sacrifice, Lord, that we can make an impact for your kingdom, that we can make an impact for your glory, Father, on this nation, the nation of Israel, Father. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise today. Father, thank you that you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And Father, thank you that as we give, it is given back to us, just like Jesus, our Messiah, said, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, shall men pour into our laps. So we give you glory and honor and praise for honoring your word on our behalf and honoring your word on behalf of your people Israel. Bless them, Father. We ask for your blessing to come to them. We pray especially for our friend, Pastor Israel Pachter, Father, that you would minister into and through him, Father God, as he preaches in Texas today. We ask you, Lord, to give him a great move of your spirit, Lord. We ask you, Father God, that you would bless the congregations that he started in Israel, Lord. Beit Hillel and the other ones, Father, the other seven, Lord, and the three that are to be planted. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless them. That you would bless them and that you would continue to bless them, Lord. And Father, that you would raise them up as a light in their nation in a mighty way. We give you praise today in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, that we've have the privilege as a congregation to be a part of what you are doing in that land so far away, Lord, that land where you were born. We thank you, Father, and we're grateful to you, Lord, that we can sow into that harvest field, Lord. And for it, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.